The following Cruise Addicts Talk Show is a production of Cruise Radio.
In these winter months, consider TripInsurance.com to cover your next cruise investment. Buy direct from the leading insurers and save up to 40% or more on comparable plans from the other sites. Get a quote today and save from TripInsurance.com.
Okay, stand by.
Broadcasting from the cruise capital of the world in Miami, Florida, this is Cruise Radio.
Hey, I'm Matt Bassford. Doug is down at the annual cruise industry conference, Cruise Shipping Miami, at the Miami Beach Convention Center. We'll check in with him in just a moment. He'll have the latest cruise news coming out of Miami. Charles Robertson, CEO of American Cruise Lines, will be stopping by. And editor-in-chief of CruiseCritic.com will see him as well. All right, Doug, what's up?
Joining us now on Cruise Radio, as he does every week at the Miami Beach Convention Center, Stuart Shearer on the Cruise Guy. How are you doing, man?
Doug, it is great to see you.
A lot of announcements this week. Let's kick it right off. Norwegian Cruise Lines announced some new details on their Norwegian Breakaway.
Yeah, the Breakaway is going to have some very unique features, and fans of A Night at the Roxbury, you know, the movie, you know, with Will Ferrell, are going to love this because, if you remember the end of the movie where they had that bar that was inside out, It's going to be very reminiscent to what they're going to be doing. They're going to have the waterfront, so they're going to have open air boardwalks. They're going to have restaurants and bars and all kinds of entertainment across three decks. So it's going to be pretty exciting. And you know, they've taken certain similarities, you know, with Celebrity, with the, you know, the on Silhouette and Reflection with the grill. You know, so they're taking the dining restaurants, you know, a lot of the things that, let's say, Carnival has recently announced, and put on some innovations onto their ships where they're making the deck space more of a more active for their passengers and to be more utilized. NCL is taking it to another extreme, and let me tell you, I think it's going to make a huge difference for NCL. Their passengers, I think, are going to love it because it's just going to really take what we called on Epic as being an entertainment mecca to a whole other level.
And if you want to see a rendering of those new spaces, check it out at cruiseradio.net. I put it up earlier today. Also, Princess Cruises announced yesterday a couple of new dining experiences.
Well, what's going to be interesting is they've realized their passengers want, they're going to spend more time in the buffets. So their Horizon Court is going to be greatly expanded, which is going to make, there's going to be more rooms, there's going to be more stations for their passengers, which may be, you know, a little more reminiscent of what Celebrity has done, Royal Caribbean, and NCL have done with their action stations in the different states to get people out of the lines and be able to offer much more variety. So, you know, another very good innovation.
So this week is all about the cruise industry here in Miami Beach, and there were some big financial impacts that the cruise industry has had on New York City recently announced.
Doug, that's right. Mayor Michael Bloomberg in New York said that the cruise industry has generated a $239 million impact on New York City. You know, they've had a record year of 632,000 passengers and crew who they claim spent about $150 million in the city while boarding the ship. And embarking passengers have spent about $120 million, half of which were spent in hotels. So a lot of people are coming into New York, spending, you know, a few nights in the hotels, restaurants, and all the different entertainment venues. Look, it's New York. It's one of the greatest cities in the world.
Yeah, it's like Venice. You can't just go there and sail out. You've got to have a couple days pre or post cruise. Speaking of New York, Disney Fantasy left there a couple of weeks ago, but their first revenue sailing isn't until the end of the month. So is the ship just docked at Port Canaveral for...
It's actually on a second sailing. I mean, this week it actually made its inaugural debut in Grand Cayman. It was in Cozumel, heading back to Canaveral. They're going to do some industry functions. What they're doing is it's really getting the crew trained and finishing the ship. So the service and the experience are up to Disney standards, and it's going to offer a fantastic experience when the very first cruise begins from Canaveral on March 31st.
So she's not just tied up for 20 days or so?
No, she is in a heavy training modes right now.
Celebrity Cruises announced they're putting a Solstice-class ship in Alaska. Is this a first for them?
Well, all I can say, Doug, is finally.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the ship debuted in 2008, and so it's 2013, so it's about 4.5, almost 5 years since Solstice-class debuted. And, yes, this will be the first time that a Solstice-class ship will be in Alaska. And this week, we knew it was going to be up in Alaska, but we didn't know whether it was going to do the one-way between Vancouver and Anchorage, but it is going to be doing seven-night round trip out of Seattle, which is going to be terrific.
And cheaper to get to, right?
Seattle is much less expensive, so it's going to be terrific for Alaska next year.
Will that put some competition up against Holland America out of Seattle?
Well, I mean, there's always competition between Holland America and Princess and Celebrity, but I mean, you know, to have a Solstice class ship up there, you know, the passengers are very loyal to their brands, but you know, this is a gorgeous ship, and you know, to be able to to experience this, you know, 122,000 ton ship in Alaska for the very first time, I think there's going to be a lot of very excited people to get up there on the ship.
Big week this week out of Cruise Shipping Miami. Two new ship orders announced.
There was one that was expected, which was MSC Cruises has been in negotiations with a shipyard to take over the hull of a ship that was being built for the Libyan government, but that went. That deal went south a long time ago, even before the fall of Gaddafi.
Yeah.
But it is very similar in design and structure, structurally similar to MSC's Fantasia class ships. So everyone knew that it would just make most sense for them to take it over. They did, and it will enter service actually next year. So that's a good move. And then American Cruise Lines on the riverboat side has the Mississippi, has a ship under construction now, a brand new 150 passenger ship. So at Cruise Shipping Miami, they announced that they're going to have a second brand new ship. This is a heck of a commitment.
Yeah.
on these Mississippi River cruises.
Mm-hmm.
So there must be a great deal of demand, because we've also got the Great American Riverboat.
Yeah.
Those guys are actually going to be sailing very, very soon.
And actually, coming up after the break, we'll be talking to the CEO of American Cruise Lines, Charles Robertson. Stuart, always a pleasure to see you, man. Thanks for being here.
Always a pleasure, and hey, get out there and cruise.
This is Cruise Radio.
For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now.
6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us. Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon. It's not just a good idea to have travel insurance during the winter months or hurricane season. Every travel agent or travel expert we talk to says it is a very smart idea to always travel with travel insurance.
That's why you should check the folks out at tripinsurance.com. They have exclusive products from the leading travel insurers that you won't find anywhere else.
Yeah, they are the low-cost leader in travel insurance, with savings up to 40% or more when you compare similar coverage from other sources.
What plan do you want to go with? Good, better, or best? They have coverage in all three categories that make it easy to find the right insurance plan for your budget.
You know what defines great customer service? Actually being able to talk to a human being. And they do that at tripinsurance.com. They are committed to great customer service with 24/7 telephone support before, during, and after your trip. You can also file claims online right on their website, and they keep you posted of any travel alerts that could affect your travels or safety at your destination. Check them out right now. tripinsurance.com.
Joining us now on Cruise Radio is the CEO of American Cruise Lines, Mr. Charles Robertson. Mr. Robertson, welcome to Cruise Radio, sir.
Thank you very much.
First off, I got to say congrats on the new ship build announcement today. Is this going to be the sister ship to the Queen of the Mississippi?
It'll be a slightly larger vessel, so it won't be an exact sister ship, but it'll be along the same lines.
River cruising is just getting so popular these days. What do you attribute the rise in river cruising to?
I think part of it is that the newer ships are just better, especially in the United States. The ships that were built 10, 20, 30 years ago have much smaller staterooms. They're more high density. They don't have private balconies and satellite TV and Wi-Fi and the amenities that people want to have today, the more elegant food service and room service and so on.
What kind of demographic cruises American Cruise Lines?
Generally affluent, well-traveled, well-educated. Probably 45 plus in most cases, although we're seeing a lot more younger people than we used to.
I was going to say, are you seeing families on there now?
We're seeing a lot of families.
That's cool. And I got to say, the cruising down the Mississippi really strikes me because it's just so rich in heritage. For the passengers that will be or maybe considering cruising the Mississippi River, what can they expect?
Well, it's a delightful experience. It's right through the essential fabric of America.
Right, exactly.
And we've woven in that fabric is stories of Tom Sawyer and Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, and at all the river towns. It's a culture and a heritage that is unique to the United States, and I think people both here and abroad want to experience that.
Will there be any overnighting in ports?
There will be some overnighting in port. The new vessels like ours are a little faster, so there's a little more time to spend in port, and there's a little less cruising at night, which people like to see it in the daytime. Mm-hmm. So
we saw the video of them installing the paddle wheel on the Queen of the Mississippi last week. Is the paddle wheel actually propelling the ship, or is that more of a look thing these days?
It is. We can run the ship with just the paddle wheel, but we also have two Z drives tucked in there as well,
cool.
Which is similar to what the old Delta Queen boats
right.
all had Z drives as well.
Sure.
But it is a functioning, fully operational paddle wheel, and at times, especially downriver, we run the boat on just the paddle wheel.
Oh. He is the CEO of American Cruise Lines, Mr. Charles Robertson. Mr. Robertson, thanks for being on Cruise Radio, sir.
Thank you very much.
Have a question for the experts, or would you like to talk about your cruise or vacation experience, good or bad? Email comments at cruiseradio.net.
Joining us now on Cruise Radio is Vicki Garcia. She's the Executive Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Cruise Planners American Express. Vicki, welcome to Cruise Radio.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
Okay, so you deal a lot on the consumer side of things with travel and cruise travel in particular. Post-Concordia, are people still cruising?
Absolutely. We didn't see any kind of drop-off after the Concordia event at all. We have over 800 home-based franchise mm-hmm. owners, travel agents, and they truly had no cancellations, no drop-off. We've had actually a stronger year this year than last year.
So you had like zero cancellations across the board?
I think we had three. That were related,
okay.
And it was just, you know, fear of travel, but right. It was so minimal, and they've already rebooked all three of them.
Speaking of the fear of travel and people who may be considering buying a cruise and haven't yet, and maybe the Concordia thing is scaring them off, can we expect any sweet deals or incentives for future bookings?
I think now in general is the time where sweet deals are out there. I don't know if it's necessarily post-Concordia. It's just now's the time to book. Most cruise lines expect to fill 70 to 80% of all of their inventory
sure.
before the end of March. So that's when the deals, now's when the deals are out there. If I was looking to buy, I wouldn't wait for anything, because
right.
then you're not going to get the cabin you want or the, you know, the destination
yeah.
you want. So don't hold off for a deal.
Let's shift gears and talk about river cruising, because so when I think of river cruising, I think of like really old people sailing on rivers in Europe. But it's not like that anymore. It's trending younger now, right?
Absolutely, because I like the river cruise. So
okay,
you just called
so.
Me young. So actually, the funny thing is I just spoke about that a little bit ago, is river cruising is multi-generational now. It used to be every picture, everything you saw was, you know, everyone had white hair.
Are you sure?
Now there's groups of multi-generational going. There's some teenagers going with their families.
Mm-hmm.
It just offers a great way to see small ports of call and really get into the culture of that area. And the cool thing about river cruising is the entertainment on board is from each port of call. So it's not like you're, you know, you have the one flamenco dancer that's on the ship
right.
the whole week with you. It truly is, they'll bring on in one port of call entertainment from Vienna. So it's really, you're really immersing yourself into that
sure.
into that experience.
Are you seeing a lot of people cruising in the U.S.?
We are seeing a big pickup on that. I mean, we've just added a couple vendors to our portfolio, just looking at, because clients are wanting to cruise in the Mississippi and the U.S. So it's definitely picking up considerably this year.
She is the Executive Vice President of Cruise Planners American Express, Vicki Garcia. Thank you so much for being on Cruise Radio.
Thank you for having me. Have a great day.
This is Cruise Radio.
Joining us now on Cruise Radio is Editor-in-Chief of CruiseCritic.com, Carolyn Spencer-Brown. Carolyn, welcome to Cruise Radio.
Hi, Doug. It's great to be here.
Okay, so over the past year, so many cruise lines have been so food-intensive. We had, like last October, Funship 2.0. Is food starting to make the cruise?
I think food traditionally has always made the cruise. What the big difference is these days is that it used to be about quantity, about, you know, feeding 24 hours a day, all-you-can-eat buffets, chocolate buffets, crazy buffets. And now it's more selective, but the food is still paramount to the experience.
Who was kind of the trailblazer for specialty restaurants on cruise ships?
Well, I think there are two. One was Norwegian Cruise Line, which was the first line to have an alternative restaurant. This is way before the whole Norwegian freestyle kind of concept. They introduced one alternative restaurant on the ship, and I think this was in the 80s. And that was massively revolutionary. Nobody had ever heard of that. You dined the same time every night, the same people, whether you knew them or not. That was the way it was. And so this was the first step. The second step, and what took it to the next level, I think, was Celebrity, which came in the late 90s and said, okay, we didn't pioneer this, but we're going to make this different. And they came in and just really added all sorts of different kinds of restaurants and really upped the quality and the exclusivity of the experience.
Is it a good idea for folks who may be considering trying a specialty restaurant to maybe try to make those reservations ahead of time?
Well, it's really important to first distinguish between specialty restaurant, because there are very formal ones that cost $80 like Remy does on
sure.
Disney Dream and Fantasy. And then there are very casual ones like the hot dog stand on Allure and Oasis that don't cost you anything extra. You've already paid for that. So I think it's really important to kind of figure out what you really want to do. If you really know that you want a certain night in a restaurant, it's a special occasion, honeymoon, a birthday, whatever, an anniversary, then you should book it ahead. If not, I think you should book it when you get on board. The one downside I find of all this great energy about alternative restaurants is now, if you really want to get into the really good ones on a ship, you have to schedule yourself ahead of time,
sure,
which kind of defeats the whole point of, you know, kind of living kind of day to day on a cruise.
Yeah, totally. And some of these specialty restaurants are quite pricey, like you were saying, Remy, on the Dream and Fantasy. Do you think that the value is comparable to the quality of food?
I think in most cases, you are getting more value when you pay a fee to eat at a restaurant. But in some cases, and this was a point that was made at the Prince's press conference the other day about the new restaurants and charging nominal fees, is that the extra surcharges are sometimes, not in the case of an $80 Remy or a $40 Murano on Celebrity, but in the case of some restaurants, it's used as inventory control, meaning if everybody on the ship wants to eat at a place, there's no possible way for that restaurant to accommodate, you know, 3,000 people in a 7-day period. So they have to charge money to weed out the ones who are serious about it.
Is there a downside to eating at these restaurants?
I think there are two possible downsides that it's important for cruise travelers to watch out for. One is the perception that you have to pay $40 to get a decent meal on a ship. The main dining room should always have food to a certain standard, service to a certain standard. And we do hear reports at Cruise Critic of people of cruise lines cutting back on the main dining room to get people to spend the extra $30 in the steakhouse, but we really encourage you to pick a cruise line that does really care about the main restaurant that you've already paid for in your cruise fare. The second thing is to watch out for kind of a price creep, and we see this with Celebrity especially, where in the past year, in the middle of a recession, Celebrity raised the prices to get into its main restaurants by 20%, and I don't know about you, but that's a big chunk of cash, 20%, in a time when everybody is really pinching pennies, and so the fees are going up, the extras that they're providing you in those restaurants are going up. We've heard stories of customers in these restaurants being presented with roses and then asked for their sale and sign card afterwards, which I thought was highly tacky at a restaurant that charges $40 to get in. So be careful. Be an educated consumer.
For a family of four to eat, like, on a Disney ship, it could be almost $400. Like, do you have any advice or tips for families that are looking to maybe check out specialty restaurants and may not have that kind of budget?
Well, I mean, I certainly wouldn't take a family of four to Remy on Disney Dream or Fantasy, as marvelous as it is. I mean, to me, that would be my husband and myself, because it's just too expensive at $80 a person, unless the kids are inordinately sophisticated. But I think what you want to do is, what are the kids like? What is your budget? Figure that out before you even get started. And then remember that the kids' clubs do offer evening services. So if you and your husband or you and your partner want to go out and do your own thing, the kids don't necessarily have to come. And that's kind of maybe a little bit of a nice night off for you.
Very good advice, Carolyn. She is the editor-in-chief of CruiseCritic.com. Carolyn Spencer-Brown, thank you so much for being on Cruise Radio.
That's great. Thanks.
All right, that's going to do it. Don't forget, we're on the Stitcher Radio Network, the best way to listen to Cruise Radio. It is a free app for your smartphone. Just go to cruiseradio.net, click on the Stitcher Radio icon, and get the latest cruise news. Stay on top of it all. You can sign up for the email alerts on our homepage. Again, go to cruiseradio.net and simply fill out your email address in the upper right-hand corner. From the Cruise Radio studios in Jacksonville, Florida, and on behalf of Doug Parker at Cruise Shipping Miami, this is Cruise Radio.
Thanks for listening to Cruise Radio. For information on how your company can reach over 100,000 travel enthusiasts a week, email sales@cruiseradio.net. Find Cruise Radio on iTunes, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Just search Cruise Radio.
The preceding Cruise Addicts Talk Show was a production of Cruise Radio.